This episode of Rob is a Podcast covering the Thursday night eviction show is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Professional Counselors. If you think you may be depressed or feeling anxious, stressed, or overwhelmed, and if you are like a lot of people from what I see on social media following the Big Brother season, that it certainly can bring up a lot of stressful feelings, BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who are trained to listen and to help. You can talk with a counselor in a private online environment at your own convenience from wherever you're comfortable. BetterHelp has counselors who have expertise in a broad range of areas such as anxiety, between everything that's been going on in 2020, that there is no shortage of people with anxiety right now. Things like depression, relationships, difficulty sleeping, dealing with loss, trauma, self-esteem, anything that might be an issue for you that you want to talk to somebody, BetterHelp has somebody available to you. BetterHelp can give you access to help that may not be available in your area. You simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs and get matched with a counselor in under 48 hours. You can secure video or phone sessions with your therapist, plus exchange unlimited messages, and everything you share is confidential. And for whatever reason, it's not working with that particular counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. Join the 1 million plus people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp counselor. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp. They're currently recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. BetterHelp is an affordable option. Our listeners get 10% off the first month with discount code RHAP. Get started today at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. That's BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Talk to a therapist online and get help. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's ready to talk about all of the personal game information from Big Brother 22. I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Big Brother recap for eviction night here on September 10th, talking about the fifth eviction of the season. And ultimately, we have a endurance comp going on right now. Who knows? Maybe by the end of this podcast, maybe we will have a new HOH to talk about, but we've got a great panel to talk about everything from tonight with. First, back with us here once again, a man who is looking great. Here he is. It's Brent Wong. Brent, how are you?
I am doing wonderful, and it is so exciting to have a real endurance competition on Big Brother. I love the wall, and we are really lucky this season because there are a lot of people who are good at this particular competition, so I'm very excited to see who the HOH is tonight.
Okay, all right. And Brent, I'm surprised, do you have a Thelma and Louise poster?
I do not, but I was thinking about it when she said that. I was like, that would be cool.
That would be great. That would be great. Yes. Okay, all right. Back with us tonight to talk about everything that's going on, our good friend Chappelle is here. Chappelle, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. I'm good. Just a ghetto-ass black boy just chilling, trying to get on the podcast and talk about this season of Big Brother. How have you been?
Okay, doing great. Doing great. Happy to have you back with us here, Chappelle, sporting the Baltimore Ravens jersey tonight.
Yes, although I denounce and repudiate Ray Lewis, I am a diehard Ravens fan. And so I am definitely repping my team to commemorate the start of the NFL season.
See,
so,
I thought that you were doing it to honor Raven from Big Brother 19.
Also,
I too am a Raven fan.
Right. I've heard, I've seen the footage. Yes, I'm drinking the Raven Kool-Aid, the best kind of Kool-Aid. So, yeah, that I'm honoring her and my team as well.
Okay. All right. And then also back with us tonight, we have the great Mari Forth. Mari, how are you?
I'm good. I wish I was here on a better night, but I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to talk Big Brother with you guys, and let's go.
Okay. Let's go. And we are live on a Thursday night. And of course, we tweeted out a link to the episode earlier tonight. If you have questions, you can go ahead and post them there as we talk about a night which was mostly revolving around the big confrontation between Christmas and ultimately she gets into it with Devon. Devon and Bailey walk away. Christmas is a real lunatic during this. I mean, this was like the ugly side of Christmas that everybody was saying, like, oh, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. And then it's here tonight. I don't know where we go from here with this Christmas storyline this season. Brent, let me get you at first started. I mean, it was sort of like an anticlimactic vote. I mean, I feel like that this episode was really the night that we got to see the big Christmas incident.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for. And when I saw on the schedule that I was on Thursday, I was like, oh, wow, I'm going to get to talk about this fight. It was something to behold. As far as the vote goes, there were... I would say some cursory efforts to try to flip the vote. There were people in the house that wanted to keep Bailey, Enzo, David, maybe a few other people, but they could not find five reliable votes that wanted to keep Bailey in the house. And basically, it was not the most stringent effort, and Devon stayed with 9-0 vote.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And never really in doubt.
It was basically just CBS saying, hey, there's a bus. Let's push Christmas under it. Because they were like not pulling any punches between this episode and last night's episode. I was like, oh, okay. So
yeah,
make her seem like the bad guy. I'm like,
Christmas is canceled. Christmas is canceled. You get Cole. You get Cole. Cole for you. Cole for you. Cole for your mama. Christmas is canceled. And I'm okay.
Devon, let me just say, Devon is so freaking good in that room.
He's amazing.
Like, because you know, they are not feeding her that shit. They are really like, that is her. That is coming out of her. And we are living for it. So I'm so glad she's still here.
You don't think Julie wrote that joke? You don't think?
No, I really don't think so. I'm just a clue, but I don't think so.
Let's sort of wind it back to the lead up to all of that. We see Christmas and Devon try to talk through what's going on. And really, Christmas is very hung up on this idea that, you know, Bailey revealed that there is an untouchable. And once she's done that, there's no coming back from that. And Devon's trying to explain that no, Bailey is annoyed because you put her on the block. Christmas can't really say, but she said she wasn't going to make it about the game, and she's getting more and more heated about the whole situation. Chappelle, what is Christmas looking for here? That Bailey just has to say, like, you got me?
Yeah, Christmas wants to offend Bailey by putting her on the block and saying it's a game, which is fine. But also she wants Bailey to be okay with it and not be mad at her. And that's an issue. You cannot do what you want to people, despite it being a game, and then expect them to happily take it. They don't have to. And the problem is that Christmas is not willing to accept that. So she wants Bailey to... Come at her with a joyous face, a joyful Christmas face, and be happy that she's still in the house with Christmas. Because, you know, although it was the conversation between a game, you know, move, or, you know, whatever, a personal game, whatever, ultimately she's upset because Bailey's upset, but she made her upset.
Yeah.
And she almost kind of contradicts herself, as in, like, basically saying, like, oh, we weren't that close. We weren't that close, but you also want her to be okay with putting you on the block. Like, I don't understand those mental gymnastics. It's like, she feels what Devon told her. She feels like she trusted you, and she trusted you with information. And then you then use that information to not only put her on a block, but put her business out in front of everybody. And then you also want her to be like, okay, thanks, Christmas. Like, no, look, give the girl some space. Right. Give the girl some space. Let her calm down. Let her do what she want to do. But don't expect her to hug you. Don't expect her to be fake around you. Like, you don't deserve that. She don't have to give it to you.
Exactly. Like, I will say that the only time that I was a little bit, and I'm just saying a little bit, Team Christmas was this whole business about personal game information. Oh. I went Christmas on that. There is no such thing. But, like, Devon eventually got it right. Like, she wasn't explaining it well at the beginning. That's when she said personal game information, which, again, there is no such animal, okay? But later on in the conversation, which you saw, when she said, you betrayed her and she feels hurt. That's all she needed to say. She shared something with you that you didn't think that you were going to reveal, and she feels hurt. Period. End of story. That's enough right there. Nothing about this, the information about game personal, nothing, none of that. That would have been fine. But then they got hung up on that and then it just went downhill from there.
From my understanding, the conversation where they had this untouchable conversation, it also included some of like Bailey talking about like race and like what this game felt to her. And and when she said Day was her untouchable, it was due to that aspect. Just, I guess, like you can say Davon saying like she doesn't want to vote against David. But apparently the conversation they were having was on a deeper level than just like, who are you putting up? Who are you not putting up? Stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah, personal game information sounds crazy, but I think I understood where Davon was getting at it. And reading into, maybe reading too much into it, she just didn't want to like say, like, you know what we, because she kept saying Christmas, you know what I'm talking about, you know, but I don't think Christmas understood. So that's that was my understanding. It was in a conversation that was real deep on Bailey's side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ultimately, don't you think that like within an alliance, it's okay to have a final two with someone who's not in your alliance, right? So like if Tyler's in the whatever that huge alliance was he was in that time with against Fauté, if he's in there and he's saying like, I'm going to the end with all of you, but I think I want to go to the end with Casey, or they see him with Angela and they assume he's going to go to the end with Casey, to Angela. Why would that alliance implode right then and say, well, he's never going to vote out Angela, so we should get rid of her. You can still go further. And I think that's why Bailey's like, why is that such an offense to you that I said I have an untouchable when you are claiming that we're working together? Like they had just talked
about it. But that's the problem though, isn't it though? Because they misread Christmas from the beginning. I mean, I don't know how long we've been talking about the fact that that they in the house thought that Christmas was a potential vote for them, for Kacer to stay, for Janelle to stay, for Nicole Anthony to stay, for Keisha to stay. Like, how many times do they have to know that Christmas is not on their side? But they don't know it because it's never really been revealed. Like, it's never been pushed where she had to vote one way or the other to show her cards. She was able to act like she's sympathetic to their cause, but never had to reveal that. So they think that Christmas is with them, and then when push comes to shove and she gets HOH, accidentally, but gets it, then they feel betrayed.
And then she didn't even have to, she didn't have to show her cards then. Christmas could have put up Kevin and David and who would have cared?
Yeah.
But she went against, like, she did this to herself.
She did. Yeah. They and Christmas made, I want to say it was like a final two, or at least we'll take each other as far as possible.
Right.
The third day. Like, that happened. Christmas said she wanted to be with Bailey and Tyler in the end. So just saying, oh, Davon is a level above me, so I can't, you know, ever take you. This is the middle of the game, girl. This is 4 or 5 weeks
it's
in.
Not even jury yet. Yeah. Exactly. So
why are you worried about that? We know why.
She's not a good player in terms of, you know, she had like people like, oh, I could have a side alliance with these people where I could give myself, where you see like the really great players are like, okay, I have like, you know, five different ways I can go. She really slammed this door. Bailey is comfortable enough to tell her this type of information about who her final two is, and then she wants to use this to say, I got you. You told me that you fell for the oldest trick in the book. Now I know you're untouchable. Now you have to go up on the block. And she's such a hypocrite also, because if Bailey won HOH and if Christmas had revealed her untouchable, do you think that Christmas would have reacted well if Bailey's reasoning was, well, you did tell me you're untouchable. There's nothing I can do. Once I know untouchable, I have to put you on the block.
Mari, I couldn't, you have it right. Like, I couldn't believe how sanctimonious Christmas was about the fact that that Bailey wasn't being her best friend in the moment where she stabbed her in the back. And of course, I heard Chantel say this on the morning show, I think it was yesterday, where Christmas doesn't take responsibility well when it's singular, when it's about Christmas. She can't do that. She's really good when it's about the team. Like, I did this for the team, or I'm doing this for the team. But when it's about Christmas and the fact that she singularly betrayed Bailey in that moment and stuck her ass on the block when she trusted her, she just can't face that. She doesn't want to face that. And then that's why she got defensive in that moment when they were talking to, when she was talking to Davon about how, like, I don't want to be perceived as the bully. And, but of course, like, in that conversation, she became the bully by yelling at Davon and Bailey. So, like, it was almost a self-fulfilling prophecy in the first place.
All right. Well, let's go to Christmas and Davon. And talk about where we go from here. Because Davon, I do feel like is starting off this conversation, and she's trying to explain to Christmas, okay, this is why Bailey is upset. And Christmas keeps saying that, no, the original sin here was that she made a final too. That once she has a final too, and she told me about it. So that's on her. That's not on me.
Like, yeah. There are all these final twos running up around this house. Mm-hmm. Really?
Final yeah. twos in the house. Really? Yeah. This one is the point.
Let me just point out that Day should not have to be talking for Bailey. I think Dave points out, if you have a problem with Bailey, if you want to talk to Bailey, you talk to Bailey. You keep coming to Day. This is that stuff that really, you know, pissed them off, because it's like, this house refuses to see them as separate players. You know what I'm saying? Just how Nicole can have a final two with Ian, or Nicole can have a final two with Danny, who she's known for years, walking into the house, known for years, and can then also maneuver within alliance. Bailey and Devon can't do that. Once it's like, oh, they're the final two. It's them. We're afraid of them. We got to get them out. That's the tightest bond. Like, it doesn't make sense. Why are they not allowed to have a final two, but also be able to work with you, Christmas, work with you, Tyler, work with other people? Like Chappelle said, it doesn't make any sense. Like,
like earlier you said, like, when you were talking about it, Mar, you said, we know why, but this is what you mean when you say we know why, because they're black. Yeah. They're the two black girls in the house, and they can't be seen as separately by the other house guests as having other things besides what they have in front of them. And the house guests refuse to see them as individuals. They see them as a pair, and have always seen them as a pair since they walked into the house together.
Which is so funny, because their games were always on kind of separate spectrums, where Day was closer to Danny and Nicole and that side, while Bailey was always closer to Tyler and Christmas and Janelle and Kacer. Their games have actually been singular as individuals while working together, but nobody...
Yeah, and Chappelle, like, wasn't it just like a week ago, maybe like a week and a half ago, when Devon was going on to Kevin about how she doesn't really trust Bailey? Like, really?
Devon has been looking at Bailey as like, oh, well, Bailey's closer to that other side, and she was closer to Janelle than she is to me. And so Devon has been looking at Bailey as a player in the game, not this, like, this is not her twin twist, you guys.
So it's insane what it felt to me. Like. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's insane to me that, like, Christmas was both on the block. And then goes to Bailey, Devon, who's on the block, to complain about how Bailey is upset with her. Like, oh my God, why don't you talk to me? Like, I'm on the block too. I don't want to talk to you, quite frankly. But like, had you come to me and said, I want to be a pawn to get rid of Devon, or Bailey or whatever, then I can see why she's having that conversation with Devon. But she's just like, can you talk to your friend for me? Oh my God. Like, I put her up and just mad. Like, why is she taking this person? She's only going to lose all this money. What is it? Is it really worth it? At what cost? At what cost?
And like you saw, Devon was like, wait. So I'm hearing all these excuses as to why you put Bailey on the block, but no reason as to why you put me on the block. And then Christmas would be like, but I want to work with you. We're allies. Then why did you put me on the block? And then Christmas said, well, who else is I going to put on the block?
I don't know. There's like 10 people in the house. Like, are you allied with all of them?
Right.
I would have
quickly threw David under the bus. If I was Devon, I'd be like, David's right there. Like, he's right there. Like, Jesus.
LeBron.
LeBron James. He's right there. Just turn around. Look. He's right there. So I don't know. It's absurd. Stupid. It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, in the words of Devon, Christmas is so stupid.
Yeah, I know. And just to be clear, and then Chad is reminding me of this. This is fair that, we talked about the fact that this wasn't even a good move for Christmas. But Bailey and Devon were not coming after Christmas. They trusted Christmas. They thought that she was on their side. These were really originally Danny's nominations. And that sort of went into the house more. Danny and Nicole start talking to Christmas. Nicole starts talking to Christmas. Nicole still has that thing with Bailey about the couple tries, a couple guys thing.
Part of the show. That's never come up in the episode. Yeah.
Bailey didn't say it like
that. I know she didn't say it like that, but the retell of that was even worse. Mm-hmm. And then that's what became like told over and over again in the house. Yeah.
And that's where we have to give credit to Nicole. They call it Nicole Effort because she puts it in. Okay. She goes in, she said, I don't like Bailey, so I'm gonna get in your head. And Christmas, Nicole's so effective. So Christmas doesn't even know why she put them up. She's just like, you told me he's here in touch.
For the alliance? Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
No, you're good.
Every person who's left the house, minus Kacer, has been Nicole's target. And
top five Big Brother player.
She might be Sandy Diaz Twine.
She's pretty good. She's really good. Yeah. I'm really glad. You know, I wasn't feeling Nicole Franzel when she came back on this season. I was literally like, why? Why Nicole Franzel? But as I have said on the roundtable on Tuesday nights, I'm really impressed with her game. She really is good. She doesn't do it in a way that's particularly pleasing to the eye or to the soul, but she's so paranoid about her place in the game that she's just always putting out fires and always checking up on people. And she's really good at this. So, you know, I always give her props nowadays.
Hey, and if she's getting what she's want, she's getting a great edit because she is not seen at all as somebody, whether she, I don't think she wants that kind of heat anyway, she's doing an excellent job. It's not even coming up in the episodes. Of course, we know the true mastermind of all things is Memphis, but we'll ultimately
Memphis, I was going to fall out when she showed her that picture of the six people, because that was like a joke going on Twitter that when Bailey gets evicted, that Julie's going to show her these six white people and say, this was the cause of your demise. And did you know Memphis was in it? Like, but at least Memphis? She didn't say the last part, but she basically fulfilled the meme, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And then what did Bailey say to the... What did she say? She said, not yikes. She said something like,
eek, I think she said. Yeah. Let's talk through Bailey and Davon with Christmas, because I do think that that's really interesting, because we got to see really, I think that maybe we might have debated whether or not that they were going to include this, Davon's perspective on this whole situation of if Christmas gets to say whatever I want, whatever she wants to me. And if I respond, then, okay, oh, this is the trope, mad black woman. Okay, oh, Davon, go off. See, this is what she's going to do. And I also think that Bailey's story through her two seasons, that I think that this really came to light for me tonight in terms of Bailey, where she has that moment in Big Brother 20 where she gets into the argument with Tyler and she's so mad and she's bleeding from the mouth. And see that? That's the snapshot of Bailey. And I think that in terms of Bailey's arc, I really got from her tonight where one of the things that was important to her was not necessarily to come back and be the Big Brother champion, but was to come back and to change that image that people had of her as being this emotional, out of control person. And I think she got to demonstrate that year in this moment of conflict with Christmas. That's not who she is as a person.
Yeah. I really thought that them showing Day's thought process, I was a little bit surprised because we don't know what CBS is going to edit in or out of the episodes. But it was really like, as a black woman, it touched me because I was like, I felt every tear that she was crying, every note that she was hitting. And I just hope that it got to like a lot of other people, because that's not playing for the cameras. That's not like trying to make everybody look bad. That's her feelings. This is what she has to go through in that house every single day. And it was just a pure rush of emotion that I'm so glad that they included. And then to follow up with Bailey putting an exclamation point on it, like, why are you talking to me like this? I can't talk to you like this. And for Christmas to just keep going, like, it's not a good look for Christmas. Like, this HOH week for her has, I mean, let's run it down. Her alliance with Tyler has been exposed. She lost position in the house. Her allies kind of don't trust her. They don't want to take her as far anymore. Day is not sold on her anymore. She looks bad. looks bad. So it's just been, I wonder if this stumble that Christmas has will be portrayed kind of like how Bailey's at HOH from her season, because they both have very high hints of HOH-itis and just devaluing their positions in the game. And Bailey is constantly reminded of that. So I want to know, will Christmas be constantly reminded of this week or not?
I'll remind her.
Will it affect her game long term?
Sure.
We hope so. Listen, ghetto ass Christmas with our hand waving and stuff like that. Listen, I'm not okay with it either. The thing that bothers me the most about it is because it would be different if this was in a vacuum, Davon and Bailey's feelings that never interfere with the game. Like, they just pulled this out of thin air. But we hear the house guests on the feeds like, man, Christmas is like, man, what if, man, she's going to go off on me. She's going to shoot me in the face. You know, that kind of thing. Like, what if she stabs me? Like, they want that from her. They know it's coming. Oh, my gosh, she's going to, she's so scary. So, like, when you feel people tiptoeing around you, it does affect the way that you act toward them. Especially if you're already, like, yeah, especially if you already have a like, preconceived notion of, like, man, I already have to tiptoe. And then I can understand people are trying to handle me a certain way. You know, it's like when someone tells you to calm down and you're not even, like, upset, it makes you even madder.
Yeah. And oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how they feel. And we constantly see Davon and Bailey, like, it's okay. They talk to each other. They commiserate together. Like, it's okay. Don't say anything. Don't go in there. It's fine. You heard what they said, but it's okay. Fine. Blah, blah, blah. So then when it finally gets to the point where they have to, where they cannot hold it in anymore, they look bad. And I think that's what they were experiencing, trying to express to her. The issue is that Christmas looked horrible because she was acting horribly, and we all get to see it, and we all, and they had each other's back. Imagine if it was only one of them in the house. And that's a, that's a thing that they have to deal with year after year, is that we get one person in the house, so you don't have that other person to turn to kind of like vent to, or to even have that moment of someone holding you back. They're gonna let you go full Shima, and whether Shima was justified or not, she didn't have Bailey to say like, it's fine, you know, it's okay. Like, they want you, they want this for you, you know what I'm saying? Remember Candace and all those moments with Aaron. Howard, like, Howard literally had to carry her out of the room, but you need that support system, and that's why, you know, this, that's why that moment was so important for them to show on television. And I, well, from my point of view.
Yeah. And I know that like Bailey and Davon weren't living for this, but I thought they handled themselves so well. And part of it was aided by the fact that Christmas was so bad and her position was so bad. I mean, like I said, the only part of the, in the conversation that I agree with was the whole personal game information, but everything else from the point in time where she started talking about the fact why she put her up on the block, which she couldn't really explain to her. And then the fact that she was trying to play the victim, which Bailey like called out like that. She was like, no, I am not going to let you play the victim when I am the one sitting up on the block. And you're the HOH. And then, like, it was, I mean, we were all Team Bailey in that moment, because it was just like, Christmas, just shut up. You got what you wanted. You got HOH, you got Vito, you got the two people on the block you want on the block. And there you go. Like, I mean, why aren't you happy?
You know, I wonder also if she might have been frustrated where that Tyler was, you know, he pitched Bailey and Davon about going up on the block, and then ultimately like turned it into a situation where then Christmas had to be the bad guy on this, where that for whatever reason, Tyler couldn't do it. And then Tyler's like, yeah, you know, I wanted to do it, but she wouldn't put me up. And Christmas can't really, you know, out like everything about her conversation with Tyler. So I'm wondering if maybe there's a, like, no, it's more than that. Where, you know, she's also like has like a lot bottled up right now.
So Tyler left her hanging.
I didn't want to rehash a lot of the Tyler stuff because it's been talked about to death, to death, to death over the course of the week. But I do want to say that he got outworked this week. He got outworked. Bailey and Davon trusted him. They wanted to work with him. That's not disputable. They did. Then when they got put on the block, Danny, he let Danny and Nicole slip in there under him. He let them turn them against him.
Yeah.
He did nothing but run and hide when after that whole the Bailey and Day got put up. Danny got into a fight with them and immediately was like, "Oh wait, no, I need to rectify this situation." Yeah. And they let them. They slipped in there and they turned Tyler's chess pieces against him. So. Again,
and then
this was a bad week, right? I'm mad at people for being like, "Oh, Bay and Day are so stupid." Danny and Nicole were trying to get them out. They're the ones who were trying to get them out. They were, but they're also the ones who now look like they're saviors. And Day is staying, and she wants to work with Danny. And now Danny and Nicole are talking about taking her to the final five, final six. So who looks stupid now? Because. Yeah. Tyler, Christmas completely overplayed their they just misplayed their hand this week.
One overplayed, one underplayed. Christmas overplayed, Tyler underplayed. And part of it is the fact that he wanted to quit. I mean, his head was not in the game, let's be honest. He just wasn't up to snuff and probably played the sloppiest week of Big Brother that I've ever seen from a house guest outside of getting themselves evicted, which he tried to do and then ultimately failed on, which is sort of laughable in and of itself. I will say that I... am heartened a little bit that it appears in the last day or so that his head is back in the game, but I still do want it to, and I want to bring it up, the fact that I was irritated with the fact that he tried to use the cause and why Bailey and Devon are here without saying Black Lives Matter. Even though he didn't say it, he implied it. And like, he never even went to tell Bailey, hey, she's not going to use the veto on you. He was even down there, like, you know, making the speech and everything with her. And it really irritated me. And of course, that spilled over into this episode, the fallout from the veto ceremony. But I was so put out with him from that, because I was like, there was a moment of vulnerability with you when you were like, you know what? I don't want to be in this game anymore. I'm not feeling it. There's too much pressure. I don't like it. I want to go home and I want them to stay. But like, I feel like he tried to make the part that he wanted to get out of the game co-equal with the fact that he wanted them to stay, when in actuality, yeah, that's not true. He wanted out of the game, but also, he wanted them to stay. But that was the second reason on the list. That wasn't the first reason on the list. And, you know, he got into trouble when he tried to make them co-equal, and it came off looking inauthentic to everybody, including Bailey and Devon.
And then gaslit them and said, oh, I decided not to because I heard you were still coming after me. Does it matter? You want to go home. So,
And the cause is so important to you. So what difference does it make if you want to come after me? Like, are you that petty to where this huge cause that you were just willing to throw your game on the line for is like now like,
well, I wish they would have said that to him. I really wish they would have. You know what? Chappelle, if I'd have been there, I'd have said it to him.
Yeah, I know you would have. And Tyler, of course, you know what? I've noticed this. Tyler with those sunglasses on is the most unlikable version of Tyler. Like, remember when Bailey's
the
like
90s congresswoman, I told you that.
Like, he puts the sunglasses on, he's just so pouty, and like, he's just such a crybaby. And then like, when Bailey's going off her last season, like, Tyler puts the sunglasses on. Like, that's like the low point of Tyler.
That's
like
where you can't see him when he's wearing. He's like John Cena.
Yeah, like, yeah, all of that. So, yeah, I don't like
invisible.
It. It's not like he's hiding behind the sunglasses. Like, Tyler, you did it, but you can't even own it. You just can't even own it, can you? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's what it is. I don't like it.
Yeah. Okay. We ended up going to the vote tonight also that I brought this up in the live feeds segment last night, but we see that Cody has the segment where, you know, his grandfather passed away. And again, our condolences to the Califiori family going through a loss. I'm sure that's tough while you're in the house, but we get to the vote. I really feel like that some of these nights, like, could we go back to the old school version of Big Brother? Of could we yada out of the votes sometimes? Like, okay, maybe we need to get a hinky vote in there. But we stretched it. I mean, there was 20 minutes where that if you were a football fan, you're like, all right, let me see what's going on in the football game here for a while. Yeah,
I sure did.
Yes,
and I don't care. I was like, I'm going live on the podcast, but I'm sure they won't talk about anything important,
right?
Yeah.
Can I talk about the Cody segment with his grandfather really quickly?
Yes, please.
I think it bothered me a little bit that I feel like that could be handled in a more sensitive way. I think that, you know, showing this very vulnerable moment, it's a part of reality TV, yes. But this man lost his grandfather, and my condolences go out to his family and to anybody who's lost anybody. We know how it feels. We've been there. And he's having a vulnerable moment, and I think maybe they would have been better served to let him have that one off. I mean, you cut so much out of the show anyway. Maybe put up the blank screen that says, like, in love and memory of, you know, Cody Califiori's grandfather, or like, our prayers go out to him, or Cody just lost his grandfather, blah, blah, blah. Because it really doesn't have an impact on the game on tonight's episode. Maybe it has long-term impact, but there was nothing tonight that you needed to focus on that. And so for me, maybe I would prefer, if it was ever me, then, you know, don't hand me a letter that's like from your family randomly. Like, you walk in like, oh, is this for me? A coup d'etat?
Yeah. And oh, America's player? What? What is
America's
this? A twist?
Favorite?
Is this a check?
Like, oh my God. Yeah. Is a twin twist? Twin twist? How did you know?
Right.
You know, he thought that because he was on Derek's original season and Derek had the
Team America.
America's team thing. Oh my gosh.
Right. Yeah. And he comes in, he's like, who, me? Oh, thanks. It's like, what did Christmas say? Like something in your birthday cake or what?
A rotten cherry.
A rotten cherry in your birthday cake.
Yes, yes.
It's like rotten cherries in a cake and it's your birthday.
Yes.
Bad birthday party. I just think that for me, they could have done it. They could have handled it differently. It's their choice. It's their show, whatever. But, you know, that's not, I don't run things.
They clearly didn't have content, I feel like. They didn't have any content for this episode.
I guess. I felt like they did have content. A lot happened since last time, after the veto ceremony. Geez, I don't know. I will say I don't know if I disagree with you, but I understood where the show was coming from because it did make me like Cody Califiore just a little bit more because he's like, I've never seen him be more authentic than that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's true, but oof. Yeah. Are you trying to get your viewers? You're using it. It feels kind of icky. Yeah, it does. Yeah. But like,
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. But they could have. What happened to Bailey's punishment? No, nothing. None of that. We could put that in there. You know,
she was in a whole triathlon.
Didn't even make the show. Mm-hmm. Wow.
The show. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I do feel bad for Cody. I hope he has people in there that he feels he can talk to if he wants to. I don't know how he's really handling it, but that sucks. I can't imagine playing a game for so much money and then hearing bad news from the outside and not being able to do anything about it.
Yeah. I will say that the fact that they decided to show this, they did a really good job because like it really was as it happened. Like they told him in the diary room, obviously with the letter, then he came outside. Tyler was the first person to talk to him. And then Tyler went and told other people and kind of stayed in there while other people came in. It was a really sweet moment for him. And I wish him all the best.
It was very respectful.
Yeah.
So, there's been a lot of talk about, is the game broken on Big Brother? And I think that so far, at every turn, I think the answer has been a resounding yes so far this season. But we have had our fifth vote tonight. We've voted five people out of the house. And the vote of the people that are the votes against the person who is staying, the votes against the will of the house, there have been a total of... wait for it. Four votes, not for the person going home. And three of them were hinky votes.
Thank you, Enzo.
Four votes. Four votes. This 9-0 vote was one of the closest votes of the season.
It really was.
It was the third closest vote of the season.
I know, right? As in, like, it was like nine votes separating them. I get it. Oh, gosh. Yeah. I don't know what to say. I mean, like...
The closest vote was the 9-2 vote against Janelle with two hinky votes.
It's on accident. I think in the past...
Do they need to show those? No, I just wanted to say, do they need to show those votes? I mean, do they need to tell us the votes? Do they really need to do that?
Whole episode on that. Yeah, those unanimous votes. But I think in the past, Big Brother has put in almost... automatic divisions in the house, right? When they put you in pairs, you have to pair up. When they put you in, when they bring in your twin, you have to pick the twins or whatever. So I think it's giving them they've had coaches come in and that divides the house. But this season, with this just being like, hey, hang out with your friends that you were already hanging out with before the show started, it's like, okay, well, it's hard for completely divide the house in half, because even if I don't want to work with these people, I know these people, right? Like, so even if I haven't known Davon for 10 years. He's like, oh, yeah, well, she's the black woman who preceded me to the show, and I look up to her, so I want to work with her. Or, oh, that's Kevin. I liked him a lot. So there's a lot less, reason to draw that line in the sand and have these split votes. But in the past, we were putting people in with their best friend, with their dad, Evil Dick. We'll put you in with anybody as long as it splits the house up. And I think maybe that's what they need to incorporate into the show again.
Yeah, it's tricky also because the way the people play the game, it's also like the house could also be divided on, the people in power versus the people not in power. But the people in power have done such a good job of offering this illusion to the people that aren't in power. Oh, like, no, oh, you're in the thing. Like, oh, okay, well, I don't want to screw up. I may not be in the top spot, but I'm in the top half. So I'm not going to screw that up.
Yeah.
And so... it ends up where, we've just had this giant blob of an alliance where everybody thinks they're in the core and they're not.
Yeah.
And it just becomes who can build the biggest safety net to me. Mm-hmm. So who can make the biggest alliance build the biggest safety net at the fastest pace?
Who do you think is playing the best right now of the people in the blob?
Don't get it wrong either.
It has to be Nicole and Cody, I think.
No,
sorry, Enzo.
Enzo,
come on, Enzo. Yeah. I'm sorry. My bad.
Here's the thing with Enzo.
He's in the blob,
but everybody thinks he's at the bottom of the blob.
Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks
he's the one they need to pick up. Like, okay, it's going to be the four of us and Enzo. Like, no, he's at the top. He's at the top, Mari.
I know. That was stupid.
I was like, you want to say Enzo so bad. I know you do.
Because him and Memphis they've been really good at just being like,
they got you stuff.
Yeah, they do. Enzo is who I want to win right now.
The funny thing is though that the show backed the wrong horse. The show is like they decided like, okay, it's the coalition is the story of the season.
The committee is six.
It's the committee with Memphis in it. And Enzo's not in that. I don't know how they're going to square this circle of if Enzo goes on to be the winner of the season, how are they going to explain to the audience that Enzo was
this big alliance. Yeah, there was this big alliance called the Caucasians, and they came together and they ran the game, and the leader was Memphis. But Enzo snuck in at the last second and won the game. So maybe that's what they're going
to do. No. Actually, did y'all see tonight? Christmas said the committee for the eighth time. And then they did their normal flash. They snuck Enzo picture in there.
Oh, they're trying to retcon Enzo.
But when she did the Bailey thing, he wasn't in there. But he was in there.
Okay.
Look it up.
Edit. Yeah. Maybe Enzo cooked the books, because Enzo says a lot of things we say on the live feed updates. Like, he's like reading Taryn's tweets. He'll repeat it word for word in the house. Like, Enzo, I'm calling shenanigans. These house guests have been tweeting, and I think Enzo has Twitter.
Okay, we'll see. Maybe that'll be the big twist at the end of the season, that Enzo had his phone the whole time. Bailey and Davon got to give speeches, and first off, Davon, a very poignant speech that, you know, usually these speeches are a big waste of everybody's time. I'm talking about you last week, Christmas, that Davon... she's been a really poignant, you know, in her voting confessionals this season, mm-hmm. talking about justice for Breonna Taylor, but she really used this time to have a moment on the show.
When I tell you, I almost threw my shoe at the TV. I was like, yes, tell him, Davon. Mm-hmm. I made a yell. Everybody in my house is confused. Like, she could not say it any better. And I will repeat, all lives cannot matter until Black lives matter. And that includes trans lives as well. Do not forget that.
Yeah.
She was amazing. I mean, like, she's such a good public speaker. I'm like, she had to have training along the way somewhere.
Acting coach.
So good at that. She didn't stumble. She knew exactly what she was going to say. She she just had so much empathy when she was saying. You could feel what she was saying. Like, at the speech, which the speech didn't matter for, you know, anything as far as the house guests go. But like, if it mattered anything, I know. We've talked about that. But it would. If there was a speech that needed to matter, Davon would give it.
Yeah,
and then she's gorgeous doing it.
Bay ultimately, she comes out of the house that she seems like she's totally, you know, at peace with everything. Brent, Julie referenced a conversation between Bailey and Tyler that happened today. Do you have any insight into what they had talked about?
I do not, because I was buying some clothes, as I told you.
Okay.
I think they were talking about the conversation that happened. There was a conversation that happened yesterday as well. Bailey and Tyler were talking about the fact that, look, we know, like, because originally Bailey told Tyler, look, you can go ahead and vote for Davon. And then, like, then there were some things that happened with the veto. Obviously, he tried to get himself put on the block. It didn't happen. And then he went back to her and said, well, what are we going to do with this? Because now you're stuck on the block. And she's like, you know, it's okay. You can vote for me. You can vote me out, because I know the votes just aren't there. And also, they talked about the fact that they're going to have to learn to trust outside the house, that they're not going to be able to do it in the house, that for some reason or another, they cannot get on the same page when it comes to Big Brother. Hopefully, they can get on the same page when it comes to real life, and they believe that they can do that. But as far as Big Brother goes, it's just not in the cards. They both realize that. They both accept it. And Bailey was at peace with him voting her out tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we will hit pause on this storyline until, you know, I worry, though, when Bailey gets out of the house and then people start to say, like, oh, wait, here's this screen grab. Watch this clip.
Well, he told her. He told her. He said, look, you know, in the beginning, we did what we were supposed to do. And we each said we were going to continue the illusion of the beef between us, that there's beef between us, that we're really not that close, that we're not working together at all. And she was fine with that. And he told her, look, you're going to see some things, but you're going to know, like, what I offered you on Tuesday or Monday, whenever it was, about the veto that I was willing to go up on the block, that was real. And he told her in the goodbye message as well, that was real. So just know that I wasn't playing you when I did that. I really did try to quit the game, and Christmas just wouldn't let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we think he's genuine. I'm not debating that. It was just several actions afterwards that
genuine. He genuinely wanted to go home.
Wanted to go home. Sorry.
Nobody's denying that.
But then I think he genuinely changed his mind after Christmas said, but he wouldn't own that to Bailey. Christmas said, right. Bailey wants your head on a silver platter, so I hear from Devon. And he's like, oh, really? Because I was being nice to her. I was going to give up my game for her. But so he needed to own that, and he did not. So that is the part that she takes issue with.
Exactly. Yeah. He should have just said, you know, I had decided to say I had a bad day. I, you know, was all messed up, but now I'm back in the game, and told Chris I don't want her to use it. But you know, I heard you were coming after me, so that's why I backed out. That is literally the definition of gaslighting. And then Devon went like, oh, I did say the platter thing, so I'm so sorry, it's my fault. Like, no, he was never going to self-evict. Yeah. So it's not your fault. And to make them feel like that is messed up. And then also not to tell them when you knew she wasn't going to use it was also stupid. So I, sorry, it was,
that was
also
just mean.
Not,
yeah, you're right. Yeah, no, you're right. It was mean. Yeah.
So and then the show showing it exactly like that to me was like justify. We now have to try and justify why these two women are on the block. There's really no reason except for the most obvious reason.
Yeah, exactly. But they don't want to face that. So they have to use these other justifications to say, oh, see, like it makes total sense. And oh, by the way, it makes total sense that when you ask Cody who his next four targets are, it's the three black people in the house and Ian, the nerd, like the four people that in his eyes don't fit in. So like the show still does have a problem. I would like the show to face it a little bit more, and they just don't seem willing to. But like, honestly, a lot of the house guests do think like that. They're like, so the next three people I want out are Kevin, David, and Devon. And I'm like, do you even hear yourselves right now? Like, apparently not, because you don't even like, if I said that out loud, I would be like, wait a minute. I need to take a look at myself. But they seem incapable of doing that.
Yeah, I think they said somewhere that they justified it because they said they didn't want like a person of color growing out the first 2 weeks. So the first 2 weeks is okay.
Yeah, they went after the white women first and then go back for the person of color.
Yeah.
But that's okay, guys.
It's insane to get a man out the first week. White man.
Which totally misses the point in the first place. We've talked about this in Sequester as well. When you're trying to, if you're going to work with the people of color, or you're not going to work with people of color, if you're just saving them till later on, so that you don't look bad or racist by voting them off in the first 2 weeks, you're not doing anything for them. Why don't you actually invite them into your alliance, Memphis or Cody or Tyler? Why don't you actually do something with them and work with them and try to make something happen instead of just always keeping them on the outskirts and never giving them a chance?
And again, sorry, it's not like I have a lot to say.
Yes.
Not only that though, but Bay and Day, they had stumbling blocks. They have not had a perfect game, but that's kind of the problem, isn't it? Bay and Day make one mistake and they're on the block. Like I just said, Tyler and Christmas made very big mistakes this week. Very big. They have a safety net to fall into. Mm-hmm. We will see how this week affects their game, but it's not going to affect their game like it affects Bay and Day's game. And that's what we say when we say like alliances, like having those big alliances, of course, makes you obviously look like the better player, because even if you stumble, you don't fall too far. You don't fall too long. You have the chance to get back up. The people on the outside, the people in the minorities don't get that. They get their one chance. They have to play the perfect game to try and get to the end. And that's just not fair. And we need to figure out how, why, you know, a way to fix that.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
just to be clear, like, don't you think a way to fix that would be to include like actual more people of color, like to actually do what they're going to do in particular Canada and like actually give people of color a fighting chance in the game?
I mean, is anybody arguing against that other than the people that want to cast the show?
Yeah.
22 years of Big Brother is speaking against that.
America wouldn't accept that to have like, 6 black people in the house. Oh my God. That would be like, what would that look like? Oh my. Yeah, exactly.
Like College Hill.
Yeah.
But I think you, of course, y'all all make a great point, but, and it's insane that like, it takes all of these conversations to cover all of this, because even if they do go get like 4 or 5 black people to put in the house, and then you, but you go and get 3 of them who've never seen the show before, David.
Yeah.
Who, and they're just in there as a foil to the ones who actually want to be there, who can play the game. You still are benefiting the bigger alliance because they might have 3 or 4 people who've seen the game. And so they still like outweigh that. You can't just put like randoms. Like it has to be somebody who actually has merit to win the game. And of course you don't know that all the time. People are recruited and do well, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
But and just saying that like, if next year's reason is like, hey, we threw 6 black people in the house, now one will win. Not necessarily, you know, it takes time, you know? So I think we all have to be aware of those things as well.
Yeah.
But it's also diversifying the white people in the house as well. I think you brought it up on Tuesday, Brent. Like, if the people that they're pulling from for like the white people, we're going to say, they lived in towns where they've never seen a black person and they get into a house, they're going to align with what they know. And just for giggles, I looked up some of their hometowns and like,
wow.
A lot of their hometowns. I know. I was bored today. A lot of their hometowns are like 80%, 90% like white. So like, why don't we mix that up? Like a rock star. We're like more rock stars in the house. I know Rockstar was a recruit, but she came up right from here.
She was Baltimore, a fabulous recruit.
Columbia. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like get white people who have been in spaces with other people or just know other people. That's not that hard. And that's not, I feel like that's not rude to ask, you know?
Hey, like, who are your best friends? Like, go into their Facebook profiles, look at their friends.
The
like,
problem
who
here is that we're limited to a pool only of previous Big Brother contestants this season, Brent.
Oh, yeah, this season. Yeah, sorry. But I was thinking beyond.
We haven't found those people yet. Yeah.
You had 5 different versions of Cody, Clay,
Corey. Yes.
Yeah. Like these people went to the same schools. They all went to Texas A&M. You mean to tell me College Station is a very diverse town aside from the Texas A&M football team? I'd be shocked. Like, I'm sure they can name a bunch of football players that they, you know, I'm sure they can name a bunch of football players of color from Texas A&M. You could go find one. The team is built on it. So I think you are right on track with that. You know, look at who you have. Maybe not completely white, maybe spicy white.
Yeah,
a little bit. You know,
that's the thing. Yeah. Honestly, that's what Rockstar was, and she worked with anybody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Shout out to Rockstar.
The friendship between Bailey and Devon really struck a chord with Julie Chen Moonves tonight. She was so blown away that after Bailey talked about how she loves Devon so much, she had this to say about Bailey and Devon.
I'm telling you, the sequel to Thelma and Louise, right there. Devon and Bailey. Am I right, ladies? All right.
the
greatest part of that is like, am I right or what, ladies?
Like, am I right or am I right?
Chappelle, do you think Bailey and Devon could hear what Julie Chen Moonves said and were just pretending that they could not hear what she said so they did not have to respond to it?
They were just waiting on the joke. I think, first of all, there's a good chance that both of them have not seen this movie because it hasn't come. It's not a popular movie for this generation.
Yeah.
Right, 1992. Right. I think Bailey might have been alive at that time. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I think there are a number of female. Yeah, but if maybe, you know, like, you know, she's kind of young. I don't know if we
can
prove
28?
It. The only person alive for that movie was Memphis, obviously, because he's 65.
Memphis is like, I love that movie.
That's my fave. You go, Julie. I got you. You know, so I think it's hard to think of like dynamic female duos on the spot or women duos on the spot. If you're going off script, Julie, maybe you should prepare for something like that if it is hard for you. So like Romy and Michelle, Like, Nina and her friend, yeah, you know, like, right? like finger guns, bang bang.
Also,
you
know, so. spoiler alert on Thelma and Louise, it's not a happy ending.
I know, right? Mari pointed out to me on Twitter that they're criminals.
You're like, two criminals?
They're criminals.
Oh, okay.
Killed their husbands, right?
Oh, and okay.
Like, drove off the Grand Canyon in a fiery blaze together. Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
Look, you're driving a Tesla off the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. Yeah, keep an eye out on Swaggy C now that Bailey's out the house. We might be in danger.
I don't know if they killed their husbands. They might have killed somebody and left their husbands. Maybe that's it. I forget.
Oh,
it's
again,
been a while.
Please, yeah, prayers for like Swaggy
that.
Regardless.
They killed somebody. I know that.
Right, right. Like, I'm just saying, like, there's got to be a better, like, I don't know.
Who do
we have to? They have to be does it have to be like a white couple? There's no like powerful black duos like Oprah and Gail, like in the Oprah and Gail story on Lifetime.
This song.
It was such a random. So wait, so is that more top? Like what's the least effective Julie like pop culture reference Julie's made? Is it the like Busy Phillips or is it Thelma and Louise? Because
well,
that
Busy
too
Phillips
was questionable.
Is more obscure, where Thelma and Louise is more dated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And this and she's doing this every week now. Now what are you gonna do? Like how's she gonna top herself next time? Like, is she like, you look like a young Gina Davis up there? You know, what is she gonna say?
There's no comedy writers in the bubble for her.
Right. She's like, the women are in a 4-person alliance, yeah, like the Golden Girls. Like, what is Julie? Have you not seen television since Big Brother like 2?
Yeah.
Like, what's happening here? It was fascinating that she picked that.
All right, we'll get right back to the recap of the Thursday eviction show, but I want to take a moment and thank a sponsor. And this is a sponsor who is near and dear to my heart. It is Podcast Movement, Podcast Movement 2020 at podcastmovement.com. Now, I was at the very first Podcast Movement back in 2014. It is a event that is put together by a couple of guys that I've gotten to know over the years, Dan Franks and Jared Easley, and they wanted to start a conference that was for people who are in the podcasting space or want to be in the podcasting space. If you're an aspiring podcaster, Podcast Movement is a great conference to go to. But of course, this is 2020. Everything is weird. And so that they were not able to have the Podcast Movement in person for the first time since 2014. But the Podcast Movement conference is shifting to the virtual space. So get ready for the virtual edition of the Podcast Movement Conference between October 19th to October 29th, 2020. Podcast Movement Virtual is here. And this is the best time to get into this because, of course, so many new podcasts have been started in this time that we have been social distancing and apart from one another. It's been a great way for people to reach out and connect with the world. Certainly, podcasting is something that's changed my life. And if you were waiting for the right time to start a podcast, want to find out more information, or if you have a podcast that you want to start to take to the next level, Podcast Movement is a great conference to check out. Head on over to podcastmovement.com and you could use the promo code Rob to get $50 off Podcast Movement Virtual, taking place this October. It's 10 days, lots of virtual speakers. You can do different options where you can watch the speakers after the fact, and there's all sorts of different ways that you can connect with other people going to the conference. Find out more at podcastmovement.com and get $50 off with the promo code Rob. Now let's get back to the recap. I felt bad for Ian in this episode that,
oh my God, yes,
that Ian got a rough couple of hours there in the Big Brother house. I'm only talking about from what we saw in the episode. First off, that when Christmas and Devon were talking, that Ian walks into the room. And then ultimately, he ends up being the example in that Devon is throwing out there.
I want to put Ian on the block, and you have him. You went. I don't want to put you up.
Ian's like, wait, what did I just walk into?
Yeah, he had no idea what he was getting into. And by the way, he had no idea what was going to happen on the end of that, because he got into the shower and started showering. And while that whole thing was going on, his towel dropped and he needed somebody to come get the towel because he can't open the damn door because he's naked. And like literally there was no one there. He could not just stop the fight and say, wait, can y'all wait one second while you guys are fighting? Can you help me get the towel? But like, I can't even believe they didn't include it in the episode, Rob, because they didn't show the funniest part. Where Ian finally does get the towel, he has to like yell from across the room to Danny. Yeah. Oh, they did show.
Yeah. Now, do you think though that would have been? I saw some people saying like, "Hey, how come none of the other house guests broke up this fight when Christmas and Yvonne are getting into it?" Would a naked Ian just is a record scratch? Like, wait, what's happening right now? Wouldn't that completely take the tension out of the air?
Yeah. I know a lot of Ian stands that would have been down for it. But yeah, no, he's already been done that before. Remember on his original season of 14 when Russell's cousin,
yes,
his nephew,
his
sorry.
Brother. His brother. Willie.
Whatever. I can't remember.
Yeah, anybody want needed DiGiorno?
Yeah. And Chef Joe, when he's like, Ian's like, stop. Yeah, when he's in the towel. Yeah, that was good.
I don't
even
think that was in the episode, was it? I think it was just on the live feeds.
I thought they showed it.
Yeah, they showed it. He was like, hey.
Yeah, Ian was like, what? Stop. He tried to keep him apart, but then he was like too scared. It was very cute.
Okay. Big Brother loves interrupting serious moments. I think, was it Bailey and Davon were having their really serious conversation about being a black woman on social media, and then Nicole comes out of her like, who wants to see my slap-a-tart? Like, oh, wow, thanks. Like, thank you.
Okay. Julie ends up talking with Bailey. Her first question for Bailey is,
what did you call Memphis? Grandpa.
Let's be clear. What do you call Memphis again? Could you say that louder?
Yeah. Mari, do you know, does Memphis like being called Grandpa?
I have no clue, but it fits. He's been talking about his back and his body aching for like 2 weeks now. He sleeps all the time, I think. Like, I don't know what he'd be doing, to be quite honest. I never hear an update about Memphis. I never see an update
If you listen to Taryn's updates, like, he was on the update yesterday, I feel like Taryn did talk about him, and I can't remember who he was talking to. Was it Christmas? Maybe. I think it was Christmas. And they were also talking. Yeah. But like, he seriously gets up. He gets up earlier than everybody else and he goes to bed earlier than everybody else. He literally is an old man comparatively to the rest of them. That's why they call him Grandpa.
I hear about him is if he's making fun of Ian.
Yeah, that's honestly the most I heard about him all week, honestly. Yeah.
And he's not the oldest person in the house, from what I understand. Enzo is older than him. So it's just fascinating that he's like, he's Cliff. He's Cliff. And Enzo is like one of the young, like, I'm one of the young
Enzo
guys.
Has such, I would not have guessed that, though. Enzo has such young energy. Yeah.
It's because he says yo a lot. Yeah. He just says yo until you forget that he's old. But if you really pay attention, only old people are saying those things at this point. So, you know, whatever. Yeah.
I think it was with Thelma and Louise. I think that's
basically.
Hand in hand.
Rob, but my favorite part of Julie talking. Yes, yo. So my favorite part of Julie talking to Bailey is actually the first thing she says to Bailey, which is, sit right there, because I'm convinced Julie is afraid of these house guests giving her COVID, because every time she's like, well, stay 6 feet away, stay 6 feet away. She hit Bailey with a stop right there.
Which is insane. Like, there is no chance that these house guests, that they're they are in quarantine. Julie Chen Moonves is not. Like, there is a much better chance that the house guests are going to contract coronavirus. Yeah.
Maybe Julie has it. And she's like, I'm not wearing a mask. I'm Julie Chen Moonves. So you got to stay away. You just got to stay away from me because I'm not wearing a mask. Have you seen this?
Yeah,
Chappelle, you're gonna have Oprah magazine quoting us, and we did Julie Chen as coronavirus.
No, I said maybe. You don't know. You could be asymptomatic. There's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. That Brent, I have come around on this. That like, I don't know why they can't have like some plexiglass in between the two of them so that they can have a conversation and not have like a muffled interview with Bailey when it's really just. For show, in that they are far enough away. She's been in the house. Just put something. Let's have a divider. Let's be safe, and then let's have a clear plastic divider. That's fine.
It's so bad. It continues to annoy me because it also breaks up the rhythm of the show when she's mm-hmm. like, you know, the evicted house guest, blah, 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 blah. And then, and remember, you are leaving the Big Brother bubble.
Right.
So make sure you put on your mat. It just seems so out of place but and so dumb.
You watch the Today Show and you have two people that are like, they're on the same, they're sharing a desk. It's fine.
I know.
It's fine. They're so socially distanced.
Rob, like, I mean, if that, again, I don't think there's any reason for these people to put on their masks. They're in the Big Brother bubble. They do not have the coronavirus. And as you say, Julie Chen is not herself quarantined. She's not in a bubble. She could, so I don't understand why they have to wear the mask and she doesn't. But if they're going to go down this road, they might as well just put the plexiglass. That's what we do with the casino. Hello, like, just learn from us.
If we can make it work for Hoda and Savannah. We can make it work on Big Brother.
Hoda and Savannah. Oh, that's Thelma and Louise. Hoda and Savannah. That's another one.
Wow. Well, yeah, that'd be crossing networks. You guys are like the new Hoda and Savannah.
Kathy Lee Gifford is somewhere like shaking. Punches a wall.
Okay. All right. Then... Julie, I thought this was very funny. Julie wanted to first, she wants to tell Bailey about something and also say that the episodes of Big Brother did a really good job of depicting how things played out, which I would love to know where Julie is getting this information from, which implies like she's doing her own live feed updates. Here's right. Julie.
I think the show did a good job showing why, but I want to hear it from your mouth. Why do you feel she betrayed you?
I mean, what I wanted to ask was, why do you feel, Julie, that they did a good job? You don't watch the feeds. You're not a fan.
Even if she did or did not watch the feeds, why is that even important to set up the question to Bailey of like whether or not the show does a good job of explaining something?
Right. Like Bailey just watched the show or something. Like Bailey, mm-hmm. I know you're tired of seeing this clip already, but you haven't seen it yet. Yeah. But like, do you think you can elaborate on this thing that you don't even know that we've just shown? Because you didn't just see it.
it's almost like Julie's saying, like, I actually don't know. Like the show, I'm sure the show did a good job, but I'm a little lost. So could you tell me why you got put on the block?
That's what she should say about the committee alliance. She should be like, you know, the show is saying showing this committee thing, but who do you think is running the house? Because this Memphis thing just it doesn't sound all it's cracked up to be. Are you sure? What do you mm-hmm. think? Yeah. The show is doing a good job of depicting Memphis right now. What do you think about that? So
the only thing I can think of is I think she wanted to be like, relax, like kind of be like, don't worry, you weren't depicted in a bad light. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, like don't worry.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about your image. And
we don't. Yeah, you were worried about looking like the angry black woman, but in reality, Christmas. Exactly. Yeah, Christmas was crazy. Yeah.
Christmas is the angry woman.
Yeah, the ghetto woman.
Then she gets her goodbye messages. Not even Christmas has harsh words for Bailey. Devon says, "Don't worry, I'm going to finish the race." Take the baton.
Yes. Sorry. I thought you were going to play the clip.
No, I didn't pull the clip.
No. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, exactly. And we hope she does finish the race.
No. Yes. No. What? I was not okay with it.
What?
Brent.
What?
The last time we saw these women in a race, they had to count to 13 and they let me down. I was like, what happened to the cause, baby? Y'all got us out here looking like we can't count to 13. Make no mistake, I would have gotten all those math questions mm-hmm. wrong, but I would have just started running after everybody else did.
That's the move.
So when she said, I'm going to finish this race, I was like, girl, you were out first. Please, pick another metaphor, please. So
rule number one, if everybody's running, you run too.
But you run second. You let them run first.
Yeah.
You can pass them, but you ain't got... Oh, don't finish the race, Damon. Do something else.
Just win the game. Just win the game.
Climb to the mountaintop. Do something else. Yeah.
All right.
I will say this, though, that I don't know who won HOH, but I will say this, that Davon, as we suspected, we can't talk about it yet because we're not in the live feeds. I was.
Do you really? I feel like you really know, but you're lying to the audience.
Don't spoil the illusion, damn it.
Yes.
I do know who won HOH, but what I was going to say was that Davon has done an excellent job at positioning herself in a way where no one's coming after her. So no matter who wins HOH, no one's coming after Davon, in my view. And also, I don't think Davon wants to win HOH much because she knows that she's in a good spot with Bailey going home. So that's where we're headed going into this wall competition.
Okay. All right. So Julie teased there was going to be a big announcement tonight. This is a big announcement for the house guests. Okay. I really thought, like, I think they're going to have to cancel this competition because I am here in Southern California. I am further away from where the fire is than the Big Brother house. And this has been, like, the smoggiest day that I've ever been in here in California, which has been some years. I'm like, I don't know how they're going to do an outdoor wall competition. I really thought it was going to be a major problem. Either it is, and they're just playing through it, or maybe it's not as bad where the Big Brother house is in Studio City. But no, Julie has a different announcement for the house guests.
That the first five evicted house guests have been sent home and are not returning to the game.
Why do that, Julie?
Great job.
So that means all of you have made it at least to the jury. Okay. Congratulations.
Congrats.
I think.
Okay. Brent, is that some subtle Tyler shade there from
really
Julie?
I thought it was. Yes, I'm so glad you're a smart cookie, Rob. That's exactly what I thought was when she said the thing about I think. I was like, ooh, that's some shade.
Yeah, if you want to be here. Mark. Right.
Yeah, if you want to be here, even though everybody else wanted to be here, Tyler, you decided to take the $40,000 check to sign your name on the dotted line and come into the house.
A bunch of people on Twitter wanted to be here.
Not to take the attention from Big Brother, but the smog is from a fire that was set from a gender reveal, right?
No, that's a different one.
Okay, because I was going to say
The El Dorado fire. This is a different.
Okay,
this is,
it's so hard to keep up with them. I thought the announcement was going to be it's a boy, so I thought that's where we were going. But so I was sitting there like, what is she talking about? And I guess they've all now figured out that they have now made the jury, even to Tyler's chagrin.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Especially because they're holding him hostage. He wanted to quit. Let's be very clear. They're like, you made the jury, Tyler.
Well, I do wonder if maybe there was another reason why his head wasn't in the game this week.
Angela, happy anniversary.
Oh my God.
Oh, he wanted to quit on their anniversary.
Of course he did.
Maybe.
Whoopee.
Oh, you know he's going to be the whiniest juror when he gets there eventually. Oh my God.
He's going to put the glasses on. He's going to wear the veil. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm so happy. Swoopy. I don't like Tangela.
Tangela. We love Tangela. See? Look at my smile.
Yeah.
No comment.
Yeah. I wonder if Tyler would have, you know, I think that he was invited to be in the game and then they did not invite Angela. CBS didn't want her to be part of the season. They only wanted Tyler. And I think he was on the fence back and forth about going. I think that they made a mistake by not having Angela there. I think if Angela would have been on the season instead of Christmas, I think that there would be a lot more tension. I think in their first season, they were just schmoopy on the DL because nobody knew that they were an item. I think that they would have been like on the ropes and having to fight with people like, you know, Brendan and Rachel style. And then I think that maybe if one of them got voted off, maybe the other one would want to leave. But I think that you see them a little more fight from Tyler in this thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's such a great call. Honestly, you guys, like that, I remember at the beginning of the season, I was like, thank God they're not bringing Angela back because she wasn't the most exciting television. If I'm going to have Tyler back, I want Tyler back by himself. But you're right that, like, I don't like this version of Tyler because he's so damn sad all the time. Mm-hmm. And it would be so much more fun, like, if Angela was in the house and they were on, like, and you're right, in 20, they were on the DL. Nobody knew what was really happening. But now everybody would know what was happening. They'd be able to be obvious about it. They'd be up in the HOH room having fun. It would be great. And they would be literally fighting with everybody else in the house if they got put up on the block. Like, it would have been very Brendan and Rachel. And honestly,
Enzo's eating a ham sandwich. Angela comes downstairs. Yes. What the hell is that? Smacks it.
If they were in the house, it would be so great. So, her by herself, no.
There'd be conflict.
Yes, there would be conflict. Yeah. You're right. I think they made a bad call.
But I think also him not having Angela, but then him not having Casey and or Josh either was the tipping point. When he walked into that house and saw none of the people he pre-gamed with or allegedly pre-gamed or the people he thought he was going to be there, you could see on his face, he immediately was like,
be out of here by my anniversary.
The chat is giving me hell because, first of all, I do not hate Tyler. I think Tyler's great. Tyler doesn't care for
stay
me.
With
that
much, but stay with us. Stay with us. Talk to
I'm
us.
I'm staying with you, but I want to address this, though, because this is important. Though the fact that Tyler, we're not giving hate to Tyler. We're upset that he hasn't. His head, you guys, if you're not watching the feeds, his head hasn't been in the game half the time. He's played a really sloppy game, even though he's in. To be clear, a good position that has allowed him to make those mistakes, especially this past week. But the thing that you have to understand is that he wanted to quit, and we're pissed about it. Yeah. It doesn't look good.
No, too late, Brent. Us Tyler and Angela fans are not letting you get off easy, okay?
Right.
Nice try, Brent.
To Brent's credit, though, we give Tyler a lot of credit because he's effective, right? Like Mari was talking about it earlier. Tyler was able to gaslight Davon into believing that this whole thing was her fault. Like, so quickly, while he's still trying to go home, he's still like working them over. Like, well, if I'm gonna stay, I guess I'll need to be in everybody's good graces. And he did it. He pulled it off. So it's more effective. We like seeing that more than we like seeing Tyler with the shades on, like pouting and trying to get out of the house by his anniversary. Like, that's just not as appealing.
And also, one thing I forgot to bring up is the fact that Tyler has some unexplained weight loss, or maybe it's explained to him. I know every time it comes up, they cut the feeds. So he's had some weight loss that has not been making him feel very good in the house right now. So combined with the fact that he misses Angela, he's not physically doing that well, and he wanted to go home. And I'm sort of if it would have been keeping like two hungry players in Bailey and Davon, I would have been fine with him going home if he wanted to go home.
Okay. Sounds like Tyler is hungry, but not in the right way.
Who knows?
All right.
I hope he's doing well.
Okay. All right. Julie is going to sign off the show tonight. It's been so much intrigue and drama about how's Julie going to end the show every single week because she's been trying out. I don't know if she's like trying to find a different one or she has different inspirational quotes. She has a different sign off tonight to close out the show.
From outside the Big Brother house, I'm Julie Chen Moonves. Let kindness be the rule for everything you say.
Let kindness. You hear that, Brent?
That is such bull. Like first of all, it would be a really boring show if that's all they did, and my life would be really boring if that's all I did. So no, I don't think there's sometimes, Julie, when it's okay to be a little less kind to people when you tell them the real tea, and sometimes they need to hear the real tea. So go on with that.
Did Julie get like a calendar that has like a phrase like every week is a different phrase?
I just Googled it. You can't find it on Pinterest. It doesn't exist.
She's trying to trademark one of these. That's what you think she's doing.
She's making this up. Yeah, Julie's doing Hallmark cards. Yeah. No, because I just looked on Pinterest. And if you can't find like a Pinterest meme or something like that with a quote on it, it doesn't exist. Julie has lost her mind.
Do you think that Julie is opening up her own Etsy shop that will have all of these phrases on it?
Times are getting tough now that her husband lost his job.
Yeah.
On jewelry.
On masks, because it's, you know, it's COVID, so you got to wear your mask, your Julie Chen phrases. But she better be careful because they're going to bring in Tyra Banks to replace her. So she needs to, like they did on Dancing with the Stars. So she might want to tighten it up a little bit. We'll be saying some kind things to her at the unemployment line.
If I didn't know better, I would think that the final challenge this season is going to be all of Julie's sign-offs, and we have to put them in the order of which week did she say them.
If this was the Amazing Race,
we would be talking about that for the finale.
That's probably valid because you know that one challenge where they're like, it's kind of like what the bleep, right? Yeah. Where they say the sentence and you have to figure out the bleep that word. It's like, which kindness quote did Julie say this week, the week Bailey went home? And it's like, let kindness be the kind of kindness that you deliver in kind to the kindness people, you know? And then you're like, oh, she said kind, you know? So I think you might be onto something. Yeah. I wanted you to put a pin in that because if it happens, I'm upping my Patreon amount. Yep, again.
We called it. We'll see. Next week, she's like, remember, always, if you can, be one of a kind. Okay, that's a new one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Should we take some questions and then we'll see if we can talk about this HOH competition. We'll get to the main course here tonight. All right. Let's take a couple of questions. Bobby Carl says, RJP, is personal game info not the same as just telling someone something in confidence?
I'd say so. Although,
that
like,
about
as
Mari, right.
Yeah.
As Mari, yeah, as Mari noted, the conversation was littered with other personal information that you know we would definitely say was personal information. So it was murky at best, yeah. And that's why that they were so upset.
Bailey forgot to say this is off the record, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Look, you know, it happens sometimes. You're talking to another house guest, you're talking to somebody that's writing a book, and then you get burned. With stuff that you say, it happens. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's take a question from Trent, who says, Trent. What do you think it is about the competitions on BB where Davon has bad luck at them and she's good on the challenge? I feel so bad for her with these challenges. Is there any reason?
I know, right?
Yeah. What's the difference between BB challenges and the challenges?
You would think she'd be worse at the challenge. The challenges are really they're really active. But then again, they have been more flash and not a lot of substance recently. They just have stuff exploding near you. Maybe if we get some fireworks near Davon, she'll upper, you know.
Yeah, remember the competition that she lost for HOH last week was she hit the wrong button. That's all she did. She just hit the wrong button. It wasn't it was overly physical. And remember, right. I said, going into this HOH, she may not even want to win. So we'll see.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And listen, I don't like the narrative that she's bad at competitions because
she's not really, and
how many competitions do they compete in each season before she goes home? It's not Davon is in every competition and loses every competition decidedly. Sometimes you don't want to win a competition. Sometimes somebody narrowly beats you like we saw last week. The odds were stacked against her last week. She went up 4 times. So is she bad at competitions? Maybe. But is this the track record that should show that? The first challenge of the season was painfully more difficult than for the women than it was for the men. When was she going to win that challenge? Cody won it because he saw the little spinning discs, whatever. So if she went second, I'm sure she would have done better. So I don't know. I always think that's fascinating because Bailey's she's a better Bailey's a better competitor than Davon because she won an HOH. Bailey's HOH, I believe, was that sliding down the
Hey, that was such luck.
Whatever. Davon could slide down a slide, you know. So y'all are giving this competition thing a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
This is from Nate Ratz. Did Christmas threaten to run Tyler over with a car if she goes, come
Maybe.
On. Nate Ratz.
Maybe.
Get out of here with that. Get out of here. Come on. That's uncalled for.
It might be a legitimate question. I think we should have that conversation.
Shout out
dare you.
Nate.
Do not come in here, Nate Ratz, with is Christmas going to run over Tyler with a car? Is she going to take him out for coffee? Get out of here, Nate Ratz.
Does Christmas have a track record with running people over with cars?
Allegedly.
Allegedly or proven?
I believe it's allegedly. I don't know how the disposition of that particular case you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. What's the next question?
Look it up, Chappelle.
All right. Faison says, isn't the correct answer to the question, who is your untouchable, always you?
Yeah.
In a perfect world. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Bailey should never have given her that information.
Yep.
She should have just continued to be that'd have been right.
Yeah.
Christmas, am I aligned with the other black woman?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. but then again, Bailey and Davon appreciate directness, and Christmas is on the record of appreciating directness.
Mm-hmm.
Bailey thought this is somebody she could trust to be direct with, so I don't blame her.
Misread her from the start. Yeah.
I thought you didn't want to talk about Christmas's record. I thought we were past that.
All right. Karen M wants to say, do you think that CBS will air Memphis with Ian? Do you think that just have to add that Chappelle's show is one of my favorite new voices on RHAP. I want more of him often. Okay. All right, there you go. All right, so no, this is actually going to be Chappelle's last show tonight. So I'm sorry to disappoint you, Karen.
Unfortunately,
yeah. Unfortunately,
look for me on the Purple Pants podcast. I'll be joining a young ingenue in training.
Wow. Okay. In terms of there has been headlines about the situation in the House with Ian, where House guests have been making jokes about the fact that Ian is autistic, and that has been getting a lot of headlines in terms of what's been on the national story. TMZ had an article on it. Newsweek had also done reporting on that. Brent, could you tell us a little bit more about what the House guests have not been saying?
So this is not the first time this has happened this past week. There have been other instances where Danny and other people have been talking about the fact that they think that Ian is using his autism to further himself in the game, that he uses it as a defense or a way to make himself seem less threatening to people, when in actuality, it's something that he literally goes through on a minute-by-minute, day-by-day basis, especially when the backyard is closed and he can't like do something with some of the physical energy that he has inside of him. So earlier this week, Memphis walked into the bedroom where some of his alliance was and talked about the fact that Ian was just irritating the living F out of him. And basically Memphis and Danny. Nicole was there laughing, but it was Danny and Memphis were the two main people who were making fun of Ian for his mannerisms with autism. And it was really uncomfortable to watch. And a little bit later on, suddenly, Danny had an epiphany and was like saying to Nicole how, you know, I actually feel really bad about the fact that I was partaking in some of that mm-hmm. Ian slander.
You think she got spoken to by production?
Oh, yes, she did. Yeah. Oh, I think Grodner herself came in and gave her a talking to. I don't know. Memphis didn't say anything, but Danny seemed a little too like a light bulb went off. And we know there are no magical light bulbs in the Big Brother house.
Yeah.
So, I definitely think she got a talking to.
Right.
I wanted to ask really quickly. Mari and Chappelle, how do we feel about this? Because I've seen people on Twitter ask this thing. I actually am okay with it because I don't want to see more of this behavior.
You're okay with what?
I'm okay with the perception that Grodner or producer came to Danny in Memphis and said, cut it out. It's looking really bad on social media and you guys look like assholes. Like that's what I think was said to them, and I'm okay with the fact that they went to them and allegedly, it certainly looks like it, and said, stop doing that. Yeah. It's really offensive. But I know some people on Twitter really weren't living for it, so I was just curious about your opinion on that. Either one of you.
Well, I would say,
or Rob.
Yeah, I think that the production has a responsibility to say something to the house guests because I feel like that the similar thing from last season was that you had where Jack and Jackson are talking about Kemi and they're saying things that Big Brother does not stand for, and so they have to tell those guys like, hey, you guys need to knock this off. That this is not a show where you're allowed to be, making any sort of racist remarks or jokes about Kemi. Kemi didn't hear what they had to say. It's not like that Kemi can respond to what they did, and they shouldn't tell Kemi in the diary room about what happened. They shouldn't tell Ian. But I think that the producers should say like, hey, this is, when you come to this house, the deal is that there is a code of conduct here, and you should not be saying things that are, offensive. And hopefully this is
I hear you on that, Rob, but that sort of policy is really vaguely and intermittently enforced, because as we talked about earlier this week, Christmas was talking about the fact that she was afraid that the two black girls she was going to put on the block were going to shoot her in the face.
Yeah.
Stab her with a fork.
Exactly. Yeah. She wouldn't say that about anybody else. There was an obvious reason why she said that. I know I don't understand why that doesn't get a talking to. Well, this does.
I'm not saying that shouldn't get a talking to.
Yeah, I just think they should. If they're going to, I agree with you, but I just think they should do a better job of policing that sort of behavior and the things that are said in the Big Brother house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I think people have said, like, Big Brother UK does that all the time. They're like, stop saying stuff that is inappropriate. I actually would like for them to say, hey, guys, y'all, this is inappropriate. You know what I'm saying? But the problem is, I get some people are like, no, if they're going to say it, air it, show their true size of themselves and stuff like that. But to me, CBS isn't going to air that.
They're not going to air that question. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't air the microaggressions, so they're definitely not going to air that, because we've seen the two reactions to those situations, and rightfully so. The way that they've been talking about Ian has been so very disappointing for me. Okay, you went from racism to ableism. That makes sense to me, but everybody else is a little shocked by this behavior. But I wish they would step in a little bit more, at least make the House guests a little bit more aware. I mean, even if it's surface level awareness, you know, but it needs to be addressed, because actions and talk like this is going to keep going until it's addressed. And if the other House guests aren't going to, you know, address the ones who are saying this, then it needs to be production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chappelle, you talked about Big Brother UK. I really wish at the moment in time that Memphis and Danny were making jokes about him. I really wish Big Brother, or maybe like a producer, not the voice that we normally hear, but like a producer's voice, would have come on the loudspeaker and been like, Memphis, Danny, please go to the diary room.
Right. You're in trouble. And to be fair, for the people who don't agree that this should have happened, they're already doing bias training, right? And I'm sure it's racially, like, it's racial bias. And so if they're not doing training for something like ableism, then they need to. And if they're not, then this is the perfect season to step in and do that, because we're already there. We know that they're going through multiple trainings before they went in the House, and even some pop-ins every now and then. So if you touch on those things, it's really hard to check your privilege when you're not aware of it. And I think, you know, people aren't really like fully educated about certain things, or maybe they just haven't internalized the way they need to. And so a healthy reminder at times like this would, I think, is beneficial. Now, if Danny takes that and now comes out of the diary room and she's like, you know what? I just love autism. You know, then I'm like, okay, you know, something's up here. Or she gets in the diary room, or she goes to make her vote, and she's like, hey, I want to just vote to keep, or, you know, to evict Bailey. And she's like, autism speaks. Wink, you know, and then walks out. Like that's a little much for me, but just going and saying it to them, I don't think it's a problem, because they're having other trainings while they're in there.
Okay. Let's take another question. This one is from Mr. Robot, who says, was Christmas driving the bus that CBS threw under? Okay, come on, knock it off.
We got jokes.
We're not doing that.
So allegedly, she hit somebody with a bus or a car. I'm just confused.
She threw coffee on this woman who was alleged, I believe, was sleeping with her baby daddy.
In fairness,
that guy was her untouchable Christmas. To her. All right,
that was her untouchable Chappelle.
Yes,
and she had to take her out. She had to take out ghetto ass Christmas with her baby daddy and her finger waving. You love to see it.
Yep.
Yeah, ghetto.
I'm going to take this as a metaphorical question. So, yes,
thank you, Mari.
Christmas definitely made the bed that she is now lying in. She was the one who put Day and Bay up. They have a right to react the way that they did. Now she's getting thrown under the bus because she looks not that great. She drove.
She knows it too. Like, I think she went into this HOH. She knew she was going to put up Bay and Day, and she was like, you know what? I don't care how it looks. I'm just going to put them up. But then once the reality set in, and she got into it, and she didn't like the way that they made her feel, because she wanted them to be all like, oh, we totally understand. We totally understand. But they wouldn't give her that, which they don't. Again, they don't need to give her that. That's not their responsibility. But she wanted that from them. She wanted to have her cake and eat it too, as the HOH, and you don't always get it. So. Sorry,
listen, I have to say this, Rob, don't kick me out forever, but I have to say this. You remember when Becky got hit by that train?
Yeah, sure.
And they kept inserting that train sound into all of her moments?
I was hoping to find it real quick.
I had a bad train last year. I was walking.
So what if they just start to like take out the little Christmas jingle bells that they insert whenever Christmas is coming around, and they're just like, yeah, Christmas said, and then you're like, beep beep. Like me. Like, every time somebody says Christmas, I just want to hear like a beep, beep.
She's driving a Mack truck now.
It said, hey, the question said, did she throw it? under the bus. Then it went to a truck. I don't know. Is it, you know, who knows?
Chappelle, my mouth hurts from laughing so much. Oh my God, yeah. I love you so much. You're so funny.
Okay. Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
I thought that was somebody's Twitter handle. You were about to read another question, right?
Yes. Grandma got run over by a reindeer wants to say, why do the house guests feel like there are certain people they can only target during a double eviction? All right. Well, let's not do too much on the hypothetical.
There isn't even a double eviction coming. Yeah exactly. Yeah,
okay.
Well, don't they think they
we'll
think
save
it's
that for
next
a rainy
week,
day?
Right?
They think it's next week.
But Julie didn't tell us. So.
They're not even thinking about that in the right way because the powers don't even expire until the week after that. Because the powers for this week, then this next week coming up, and then the week after that, 3 weeks. So I think the double eviction will be at the end of that.
That makes sense.
Thursday.
Yeah.
That's smart.
All right. Are we ready to talk about stuff from the feeds?
Let's go.
All right. We're going to talk about the live feeds now, okay? If you don't want to know anything that's going on, we'll see you on Sunday night. We'll talk about this competition and who the eventual HOH puts up on the block. Until then, for everybody else, let's talk about our live feed spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes, a dream of mine.
I saw you found it, Rob.
all right. Okay. Let's talk about the spoiler. All right. Brent.
Yes.
Okay. First off, did you lied to us when you said that the HOH competition's not over, right?
Oh yeah, I was lying. Yeah. Well, I didn't want to give away.
This
I didn't want people
like
to
sequester
do,
Brent.
I didn't want people to read into what I was saying and think, oh, that's why he's saying that. Because Day was the first person off. That's what that question was asking earlier.
Yeah.
She was the first person off, but she didn't want to win this HOH competition. She's done the wall before. I think she was like top three in the wall on 18. So she can do the wall. She didn't want to win it. So there you go. That was the deal. We do have a winner in the HOH competition. The final four were, let's go to the final five. The final five were, Cody, Nicole, Danny, and, Tyler and Kevin. That would have been a fun little mix because there were a lot of different nominees that would have been put up, but then Kevin went out and then Tyler went out. And then by then I was like, well, shit.
Okay.
We know. Right. Like, they're all basically on the same page, Cody, Danny, and Nicole, about what they want to do. Not totally, though, but basically.
Okay.
And the next thing I looked, Nicole and Cody were off, and Danny has won her latest endurance competition is
interesting.
In the HOH. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Do we know what Danny wants to do here?
So, I disagree with Taryn. I see Taryn on Twitter already talking about the fact that that she's I don't want to misrepresent what he's saying. He's talking about the fact that she's going to put up like Kevin with maybe Ian, maybe Christmas. But I don't really think that. I think she's going to put up Kevin and David. So, you know, the two black people in the house, you get a break. Now we're going to put up the other two black people in the house because that's what needs to be done right now. I know that Kevin has been at the top of Nicole's list, and Nicole usually gets what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny had been talking about backdooring Tyler earlier in the week, but then Tyler made good with her. So I think he's still pulling the wool over her eyes. So I don't know. We don't know yet exactly what's going to happen.
But why would she put up Kevin? That's like her
guy. She wants Kevin out.
Mm-hmm. Huh? No, wait, hold on. Kevin and David was what you think or what Taryn thinks? Because I'm more interested. You're here with us. I want to know what you think.
Sorry, David and Kevin. That's what I think the nominees are going to be. I think the nominees are going to be David and Kevin, and I think that Kevin is the target. I think Kevin has been the target of Nicole, and I think that Danny also wants Kevin out because if Kevin won HOH, he was definitely going to put up some combination of Nicole and Cody, Danny and Cody, some maybe Tyler and Cody, but something that was important to Danny, and I think Kevin is in trouble.
If that's the case, then it's again they're playing against their own interests because Danny is the closest person to Kevin that's not Day or David.
Yep.
So I could see putting up David because Danny and David don't have a relationship, but putting up Kevin to me, doesn't make sense for her personally.
I should also add one thing. Kevin has been doing a really shitty job of not. I mean, he doesn't have a power, but they think he has a power. That's what I'm trying to say.
But the powers are actually very interesting now this week, where that if David goes up on the block, one, David can take himself off the block, so Danny could be forced to put up another person, which is very interesting. And then also, Danny's power, which allows an HOH to play back-to-back weeks, it also comes into play.
Which she thought was totally worthless.
She did all that crying, and now she's going to get two chances to play in the HOH competition.
We could see potentially...
He threw it to her, though.
Yeah, a back-to-back Danny HOH, and I wonder maybe if that makes her like, okay, well, maybe I can... I still have a chance to win HOH next week, and maybe could she take a bigger swing... Is Tyler on the table as a target for Danny?
He is on the target, but it would have to be, I think it would have to be a backdoor target.
You'd hate to see Tyler be the first person out on the jury.
But remember, her untouchable Christmas has the blocker power, and if she's going to use Tyler as a replacement nominee backdoor situation, Christmas, I could see using her power to block that.
Yeah, she is.
Okay, then you go on the block, Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't like this. This is advantage getting all over again. Like, we're going to put Christmas up, and then she's going to block it, and then she's going to backdoor it, and then David's going to take himself off.
I think the way the power works, and I have to read the rules because it's kind of confusing, but I think Christmas has to, like, declare before a nominee is named that she's going to use the power on somebody. But so then if Christmas doesn't have the power of veto herself, she could be named as the replacement nominee if she uses it on Tyler. So that might prevent her from blocking Tyler as a nominee.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. So say Danny puts up David and Kevin. David uses his power, and then Danny has to pick another person on the spot, or do you think they tell the HOH kind of be like, hey, have a third in mind?
If she has to do it on the spot. I think she puts up Ian, maybe Christmas, but not a lot of people are feeling her in the house. The big fight that Christmas had with Bailey and Davon really did her damage in the house. So a lot of people really don't want to work with her anymore, or see her as undesirable.
Well, it did until Cody was kind of like, oh, yeah, it doesn't.
We still have to work with her.
But we should still work with her.
Yeah, we may not like her, but we have to work with her. Chat is saying that that the HOH has to do it on the spot.
That's spicy. I like that.
So that would even further be messing up her game, because if Kevin's going up for her, I would assume he's the pawn for her. So then her maybe target David comes down, and then she got to name somebody on the spot. Is it going to be Ian, or is it just going to be Day?
She wants to make a move.
She's not putting up Day. She's
okay,
not
great. Up
Day. Yeah, I think that Danny came in here to get some blood on her hands.
I don't think
that she's here to like take out a non-factor like David and make that her target this week.
I hope so.
So you really think she's coming up to Tyler this week? You think this is the win?
I mean, I don't know enough about their relationship to say whether or not that this is the time, but I do think that she's not going to, you know, take another piece off the edges.
The problem with going after Tyler is that she has to find somebody to put him on the block against. And if she puts him on the block against Kevin, I think Kevin goes home. If she puts him on the block against Ian, I think Ian goes home. If she puts him on the block with a lot of people, I think that person goes home. The one person she'd have to put up with Tyler would be somebody like Enzo. If you put Enzo on the block with Tyler, then Tyler would go home. You put Enzo on the, or you put Tyler on the block with Cody, maybe then Tyler would go home, but she's not going to do that.
Right.
So like she's in a really rough spot if that's what she wants to do. If you backdoor Tyler, you best be sure you get him out of the house or he's going to come guns blazing.
All right.
What about Christmas and Tyler? When she puts up those two, since they're untouchables, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, she puts up Christmas and Tyler right away, then Christmas's power is null and void. So,
And Christmas, you know, people don't want to work with her, but people like Nicole are like sharpening this somewhere to take her to the final two. Like, what?
Exactly.
I can beat somebody? Because Franzel's going to have a tough time beating somebody in the final two just because she's Franzel. But if she gets Christmas, who, you know, hates people with cars, then, you know, maybe she could be like, she's Christmas. She's horrible. Come on. Like, get it.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm thinking I keep Christmas around. I got to beat somebody. So I wouldn't mind her putting up Christmas and Tyler at the same time. I don't think that'd be horrible. But like, I disagree with Rob, though. I think she's going to pick somebody off the edges. I really do.
We'll see. I think that we're going to have an interesting week. It looked usually Thursday night we talk about like, oh, okay, well, let's make the best out of this bad situation. But I think that this is going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, I'm a pessimist when it comes to Big Brother.
Yeah,
I've been converted to a pessimist, Mari, based on what's been happening in the last few weeks.
Yeah, so, right. Look, I just think there's going to be chaos. That's what I root for on a Big Brother season.
Me too. Me too.
And I think that this could be the most chaotic week yet that we've had.
Yeah. Yeah, the chat is right. Like, you say that every week, Rob, which I know I kind of do on the live.
No, I'm sort of like every week I'm like looking for the silver lining. I don't think we have to look hard to find a silver lining this week. I think that this could be an exciting week.
Yeah.
I mean,
nothing from today really. Like Nicole said today that she wanted Kevin and David gone. Nicole was kind of doubting Danny a little bit. Did y'all see that? Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she said Danny is dead to me.
Which is so dumb. Like Danny told her the truth. Danny said that Cody made a final two with Enzo, which he did. He did make a final two with Enzo. Mm-hmm. And now, like, of course, Cody's trying to say, oh, well, that's a total lie. But it's the truth. And if Nicole would stop and think real quick, you know, like, she has a final two. Well, she has a final two with a couple different people.
She rationalized in her head. She said, I came in here already knowing I was going to work with Cody. So that doesn't count. The final two I made with Danny was after that. So since then, I have given my all to Danny. I believe her. I believe that's why she's so upset about it. Because she didn't say this to a person. She said this to the cameras.
Camera.
She's just like, I can't believe her. I was willing to turn my back on Cody for you. And then you go behind my back and try to turn your back on me for Cody? How dare you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When Cody also pointed out the fact.
Get off. Freaking way up.
Cody, sorry, I just want to point out really quickly, Cody, it's been related to Nicole that Danny, quote-unquote, tried to make an alliance with him, a final two, where, like, he basically said, so, was that a final two? And she was like, might as well be, so, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like the kaleidoscope, like, which way do you want to see it? Nicole's choosing to look at it in a really bad way, but if Nicole stops and thinks to herself, she has a final two with a few different people. She has a final two with Christmas, she's a final two with Ian. She has a final two with Danny. Final two with Cody. She's been playing the game too. It's not, like, I hate it when people get mad at other people for playing the game.
Right,
hate the player.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It looks like Pacers' love triangle premonition is kind of coming true.
Yeah,
it was really disappointing too, because if like Tyler came in fourth place in the HOH competition, if Tyler would have won, I think he would have gone after Danny and Nicole, and they were none the wiser about it, which would have been all the more the gag if they would have got put up on the block by Tyler when they thought they were totally golden. So, and Cody was telling them, you know, hey Nicole, you're totally fine, even though he wouldn't have been fine. Also, Enzo too. Enzo would have put up Danny and Nicole.
And to your earlier point, Brent, you know, Nicole has all these final twos, but that Christmas final two is looking kind of sexy right now. I'm looking at the board, I got a final
She's
two
a
with Cody.
Goat.
No. Yeah, like you're like, I do have a final two with Cody and Danny and Ian, but they're all like other people in the house.
She needs to play hard. I don't know if she can get rid of her friends and keep somebody like Christmas in the game.
Real quick,
do
we have any sort of precedent from Danny's HOHs from BB8 or BB13? Does she have any memorable HOH stints?
I mean, BB8 is one of my weaker seasons.
What about BB13? What'd she do on her HOH?
BB13, she did Brendan and Rachel both times.
She spent some time getting Brendan out.
She did not hide what she was going to do, but she did try to ensure safety for herself against the other targets staying in the house. So, it was in Jeff and Jordan in that case. She wanted to make sure that she was good with them. And ultimately, that was a deal that didn't pan out because she tried to make a deal with Jeff, and then obviously he backdoored her the next week.
Okay.
Right.
Let's talk about what's coming up here on Rob Has a Website. We've got, it's our 90-day fiance wrap up. Puya is going to be having a fellow Ravens fan, Jason Reed, on the 90-day fiance wrap up this week. Talk about Happily Ever After, episode number 13. Mole Patrol, it's the finale. Does Josh know who the mole is? Find out with Josh, Miss Felice, and Brooklyn Zed. And then tomorrow morning, live PW. By the way, I didn't mention at the top of the show, we'll have an exit interview with Bailey tomorrow morning. Have the chance to catch up with Bailey, see how she's feeling about everything, ask her her thoughts on this past week and much more on our exit interview then. Taryn's going to switch gears and jump on with Puya for the live feed update. And then we've look at this. Who's this guy? Wow. Jason Guy. We'll talk to him.
Taryn's going to wet
himself. A Jason Guy podcast, of course, that he is the co-host of the Secret Alliance podcast with Daniel Reyes. We'll be talking with Jason tomorrow afternoon. Be on the lookout for that.
And let me just say, like, that picture that they put up of him, he still looks like that. 20 years later, 20 years later, he still looks that good. God damn.
He has looked like a youth pastor his entire life. That man is gorgeous. He just chiseled chin, that's a handsome, and that hair. That's
God
a
is good, Chappelle.
I got the do-rag on. I don't got that kind of hair.
Okay. All right. Then, Ovi, he was on the Saturday Roundtable recently. He is going to join David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis to talk about why Bailey lost this week. Be on the lookout for that in our Big Brother podcast feed. And then on the B&B, the great Jenny Autumn joins Mike and Liana to play some games and talk about everything that's been going on Big Brother this week on the RJP B&B. And then on Saturday, Taryn's going to be live at 9 p.m. Eastern. Oh, look, foreshadowing of Danny holding up a medal. He's going to be joined by Kirsten and Josh Williams to talk about the Legacy Watch for this week. And then check this out over on Zeke Smith's website, ZekerChief.com. There is a special Sunday Burquest buff, which you could buy for $25. All the proceeds are going to Sunday Burquest. Zeke asked us to get the link out there. You can help support Sunday's battle with cancer by getting the Sunday Burquest buff that has been designed. It says Survivor Strong. Go ahead and check that out at ZekerChief.com. $25 to help support Sunday in her battle against cancer. And then we also have, of course, robinswebsite.com/patron. We were live before the episode. I talked with Grace Leader. We took phone calls on the Rob Has a Podcast patron Big Brother pregame show kicking off at 7 p.m. Eastern every week on Thursday. You can be there with us next week at robinswebsite.com/patron. And then, of course, that was all tonight. By the way, I have to give a shout out to my amazing wife, my ride or die, my untouchable, the first lady of podcasting, who it is her birthday tonight. She is not complained at all. I've been podcasting about Big Brother for going on 4 hours tonight. And so we have to get back to celebrating the first lady of podcasting's birthday after this, but I want to shout out happy birthday to Nicole.
Happy birthday
to Nicole
C.
Happy birthday to Nicole C. Okay?
Rob, Tyler tried to get evicted from Big Brother on his anniversary, and you wouldn't even stop podcasting on your wife's birthday.
One of us is dedicated to what we're trying to do here.
Listen, somebody's got to pay the bills in this house. Tyler obviously doesn't care about it. I agree. I'm with Rob. Team Rob.
Yeah.
On her damn birthday. How dare you?
On her damn birthday. That's right.
How dare you?
All right. And then, of course, you can check us out on social media. I'm sure there will be some clips from tonight's show. Go ahead and check out at Rob as a podcast on Twitter, at RJP Grams on Insta, or our Facebook page, Rob Has a Podcast, for more information there. All right. Very fun night here to talk about everything that was going on. Mari, where could people see more about what you're talking about? Too much.
All right. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. I just want to say thank you guys for having me on. Thank you to the community that has been reaching out with love and support. It's been amazing. It's been an awesome ride. Also to the haters, you wanted to provoke me? I'm provoked.
Oh my God, I fell out. When she kept saying that, I'm provoked. All she needed was like a cigarette going, I'm provoked. It was so good.
I'm against you, Russell.
Oh, gosh. Good stuff.
Okay. Chappelle, of course, I was only joking when I said this was your last show tonight.
Oh, really? Because I was worried. I text Mara like, okay, Mara, talk too much to me. Yes.
Chappelle, where can people keep up with you?
A lot of you follow me on Twitter, and I'm very grateful for that. But go follow me on Instagram at Chappelle TNT, CHAPPELLTNT. I don't put a lot on Instagram, honestly. I've been trying to work out.
You're saving it all for the podcast.
People see me.
Yeah.
Sure. But I like to like people's pictures. I'm that guy who will like whatever. And so, yeah, if you want more likes, click, hit me up.
But you said you're trying to work out. You're doing an exercise routine?
I started Camp Gladiator. Backstory. Camp Gladiator is $9 right now. Okay. So who are me to
what
pass
is
up
Camp
on something
Gladiator?
Like that? It's like those like workouts in the mornings or in the evenings or whatever, where you get like a personal trainer.
Back.
No, not like Camp Comeback.
Please,
I will not be wearing a uniform and living in anybody's house. But Camp Gladiator was $9 and I had $9. So I was like, well, worst case scenario, I don't go and I miss out on $9, but I do go and I get a decent workout. So I started working out at 5 a.m. in the morning. I did that one time. And so I need people to go to Instagram and motivate me to keep going to work out.
Well, once Christmas gets out of the house, that she is a fitness enthusiast.
No,
she is an excellent motivator also.
No, Christmas is canceled. Okay. So that's what I heard. Devon said it, and I'm taking it
to
the bank.
You get a call.
You get a call. Your mama get a call. And so now please follow me on Instagram and click like when I say I'm working out, because I really like for people to think that I work out a lot.
Okay. All right. Great job tonight. Of course, Brent, where can people keep up with you?
You can always
you got a new look.
I do.
Follow everything that you're doing.
That's what happens when you're single. You can find me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out, O-N-E. And the chat reminded me, by the way, that Dom, Danny's husband, sent her black hair dye for her HOH basket. So we might be getting black haired Danny again. If they'll let her do it. They might not let her do it. I love the blonde actually myself. So because like it was when she came back to Big Brother 13 and she had the black hair, it was like evil Danny.
Well, I wonder, could that go hand in hand with a big move of like that we come out HOH Danny now, forget blonde Danny. Now she's brunette Danny, and then she comes out like it's like a completely different person. Okay, Cody and Enzo, have a seat. I don't know if she put Cody on the
Twitter
blog.
Would be on fire.
Enzo and Tyler, take a seat.
Yeah,
and Twitter is so fickle. Everyone would forget about all the horrible things she said about Ian so fast.
Yeah.
They would be like, right. "She's
Danny
not that people make mistakes." Yeah, like Rob, before you sign off, I do want to say that I'm honored to be on the podcast. As you know, I've told you this a billion times, Rob. Every time I talk to you, I'm like, I'm so happy to be here. But Brent, I've listened to you for years. Mari, I listened to you on the live feed, and y'all are great. And so thank y'all for talking to me and, you know, and letting me sit up here with y'all.
This has been one of the best shows I've ever been on. You guys are honestly, both you and Mari are absolutely fantastic. And Rob, you're no slouch.
Yeah, what about me, Brent? the sound clips. All right. Thank you very much, Chappelle. That was a great discussion tonight. We talked about serious things. We laughed. We did it all. Thank you all for joining us. Thanks, Scott St. Pierre, behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.